Now, right after Christmas, most kids go into a toy coma, rocking back and forth, muttering, Xbox, G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu Grip, Barbie. But now that it's a week after Christmas, the senses have returned, favorite toys have been chosen, and inevitably those weird toys sent over by Aunt Sarah, who thinks the Canadians are out to get her, they're the ones that are piling up. So here's what a parent can do. Take out a screwdriver, a set of pliers, some electrical tape, and get to hacking. Toy hacking is when you break into the brain of an electrical toy and make it do things that its manufacturer and Aunt Sarah, perhaps God and nature, never intended. But Massimo Bonzi has figured it out. Hi, Massimo.
Hello.
So you're a toy hacker?
Well, yeah. Mostly I'm a professor and I teach in design schools. And I use this toy hacking as a way to get students to play with technology with without being afraid about technology, because these people mostly don't have any technology background. They don't know anything about electricity. So hacking cheap toys is a good way
Toys are approachable much more so than, say, a motherboard of a computer.
Oh, totally, yes.
What kind of toys, what kind of hacks do you do? Describe an interesting one.
Okay, first, normally we work with very cheap toys, so they're not afraid to take them apart because they're not so expensive. But we normally use electronic toys that have some sensing ability. So, for example, we do a lot of experiment based on these cats that basically make sounds when you touch them. Mm-hmm. So we use them as a way to kind of perceive the human touch. And then maybe we get students to wire them up to a remote control car. So when you clap your hands or you stroke the cat, then the remote control car starts to move around. And, yeah, I mean, it's just a way to teach them about bits of science without the boring part, because when I started teaching, I was teaching like classic electrical engineering, and my students started to fall asleep. So I started to figure out, how do I do it? And then I realized, when I was a kid, I used to take apart everything that people would bring to my house.
Toys are the gateway. Have any toy companies ever gotten an idea from some of the hacks you've done, to your knowledge?
No, I don't think so. But there's other people in the world that kind of do these kind of things. And I'm sure that they have repurposed some toys in a way that some companies have thought, good idea.
Is it technically legal what you're doing?
Yes. No, there's no. No, it's not like you're taking a satellite TV decoder and make it receive channels you're not
right.
supposed to.
And you're not selling it as something else. You're doing it as an instructional tool.
Yes, mostly it's to learn about technology. And also, I think it's important for people to understand that if you're not happy about the product, you should be able to learn and kind of make it do things that you like.
What's the most inventive thing one of your students has come up with when you thought, okay, this kid is either brilliant or we should watch him at all times?
Well, it's kind of difficult to describe here just by voice, but it's interesting how some of them are able to recycle the plastic bits from one toy and the electronics from another one to just make a completely new game. And that's something really nice, because it shows that this person is able to kind of grasp, these kind of elements of design and make an object from other parts. And that's quite exciting. Then I have to say that most of the projects are kind of silly in a way, because people make weird musical instruments by using the cats as kind of note generators, or they make these weird kind of dolls that you maybe have seen on the pictures. But they make these kind of robotized dolls. But it's just a way to kind of lose the the fear of playing with technology.
Yeah, really get them into it. Now, and when you say see on the pictures, you're the chief technology officer of Tinker.it. So that's a website that you have. Aside from enrolling in your school in Milan, what other ways can people be exposed to some of the hacks that you've set up and can teach them about?
Well, in general, there is this magazine in the U.S. called Make Magazine that kind of pushes people to kind of hack things in a positive way. So when I use the word hack, I intend, repurpose things in a nice way. So that is a place where you can find a lot of this kind of information, and they cover a lot of the work that we do. And also there's a booklet that you can find online if you Google for low-tech sensors and actuators that has a lot of recipes that are nicely kind of described with drawings on how to do these basic hacks.
Have you seen any toys in the marketplace that just impressed you as someone who really gets it, a toy that really uses all the aspects of the technology that are available?
Well, there's a very nice train set that I saw in England where you have these little cards, and each card contains a little behavior. So you put it on the reader, and that changes the way the train behaves. And it's very nice because it teaches kids essentially about programming in a very, very basic way. And each one of these cards also contains like a little sound. So on top of having a behavior, it also makes the whole thing sound. And it's also quite cheap, so we hacked it quite heavily because There's a lot of cool stuff.
Do you have to be predisposed? Obviously, you're teaching a course in this, so people have already come to you with a certain amount of information. But if I've just got a toolkit at home and my kids, whatever, see and say is driving me crazy, can an average person do this?
Yes. I mean, most of the people that come to this workshop are people who don't have any background in technology or electronics. So they just like to take things apart, figure out how they work, and if they can figure out how to change the behavior and do something else, they're very happy about it.
Well, every Italian I know gets his start with figuring out the motors of a Fiat, which are usually breaking down.
It's a difficult job to figure out the Fiat.
So you guys have a cultural advantage, but yes. Massimo Bonzi is the founder and chief technology officer of Tinker.it, and he'll be teaching a toy hacking workshop in London this month. Thanks very much, Massimo.
Nice to meet you. Travel writer Chuck Thompson is here with the truth, darn it, about travel writing. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.